This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. I just want to express how thankful we are. We don't deserve it. We deserve to rot in hell. But it's just a delightful thing to know that we're in the same ship, going in the same direction. Amen? And it brings a lot of pleasure to us. Let us stand, if we would, and as we have done in the past, to honor God's holy word. We're going to talk tonight, preach a little bit, shout a little bit, get happy a little bit, just realize what God has for us by way of Jewish evangelism. Now, beginning of this week, the first 3 days, God put those messages on my heart. But the greatest burden that I have, that God has given me, is to reach the Jewish people for Christ. That's what I live for. That's what I breathe. And that's what God has called us to. Now, I live for Christ. Don't get it mixed up now. But that's what I live for as far as what He has for me to do and my family. Turn in your Bibles, your King James authorized Bibles, to 1 John. And I just want to read 3 verses out of here just to be to get us started here. But 1 John, the 5th chapter, if you turn there, please. All right. Wasn't John a blessing? Yes. Indeed it was, a great blessing. All right, 1 John, the 5th chapter, starting there at verse 1. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let's bow our heads, but most importantly, may we submit our hearts to the will of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here tonight. We do not deserve to be in the presence of God Almighty, but you have afforded us this honor, this privilege, and dear God, we'd ask that we might glorify Thee by paying attention tonight to something that is dear to the heart of God, the apple of thine eye, the Jewish people, the chosen people of Israel. Oh God, they just put a great burden, even more so, upon these thy dear people, for the Jews, those people that we are greatly indebted to. We'd ask, O Lord, God, be with thy servant tonight and help me. Lord, may you work through thy servant. May Jesus Christ get all the honor and the glory, for he is worthy. We praise thee in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, please. All right, notice here that in order to love God, we've already learned yesterday, we need to keep his commandments. Now, there are so many commandments in the Bible. Sometimes you might have a hard time obeying all the commandments. But, nevertheless, when you find a commandment that you've never known before, what's the thing to do? Obey it. Amen. Not ignore it, but obey it. Right. Now, one of the reasons why the church today is not loving God like they should is because they're not obeying God like they should. And because they don't obey God like they should, therefore, they have lost the power of loving God. Now you notice here, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I'd like to bring tonight a subject that is not taught much today in fundamentalism. In fact, I really doubt if it was ever taught correctly after the Word of God was completed. After John the Apostle had already gone to be with the Lord, and the Word of God had been completed. I don't believe in the history of the church they've ever got the kind of vision to reach the Jews as God originally ordained. I believe as you look through history, the church has neglected the Jews, and it's a crying shame. One of the main reasons today we're finding that the church of the living God is not prospering like they ought to is because they have not obeyed the seven commands to Jewish evangelism. There are at least seven commands in the Bible that you will find regarding what God has commanded you and I in reaching the Jews for Christ. You might say, well, I never even knew there was a command regarding Jewish evangelism. Well, there's more than one. There's seven commands. We're going to examine those seven commands tonight. When you think about the Jewish people, you think about a people that time after time in the Old Testament, they seem to be rebellious. I guess, brother, there you go, rebellious. Seem to be rebellious. God forgives them, they rebel. God forgives them, they rebel. Isn't that the way it was? But guess what? God always loved them. God always forgave them. And guess what? God also chastised them too. And so God has had a special kind of relationship with the Jewish people. Paul, from the very beginning, when he raised up Abraham and called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and told him that he would be a great nation. And so God has a special place in his heart with the Jewish people like no other people. And when you look at his relationship with the Jews, it comforts us and encourages us as God's people today. For if God continues to love Israel despite their rebellion, then God will continue to deal with us in like fashion as he dealt with Israel. He never forsook Israel. Guess what? He'll never forsake you as a Christian. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we have a God who is a God of love. He has everlasting arms of love and loving kindness. All right, let's examine the seven commands of Jewish evangelism. You say you love God, do you? I wonder, raise your hand if you really love God. Richard, raise your hand if you love God. If you don't love God, don't raise your hand. Now, some of you say you love God, but we're going to prove it tonight whether you really do love God. First of all, you got to be saved to love God. We love Him, not because we love Him, but because He first loved us. That's why we love God. Man, in his degenerated state, cannot love God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when He saved our wretched soul, we learned how to love God because He first loved us. Now, if you say you love God, you raised your hand, and that's in the witness, in the testimony of more than two or three people before God Almighty, you have just told God in front of all this audience tonight that you love Him. Now, if you really love God tonight, there's seven ways you can prove that. We're going to examine that. The first way regarding Jewish evangelism is found in Genesis chapter 12. Some of you know this, but I think we all need to be reminded what the Bible says. All right, Genesis, the 12th chapter. We'll start reading there at verse 1. This is a Abrahamic covenant that God gave. It was an unconditional covenant. It was a covenant that was based on God's promise and not based on Abraham or what he had to do. So we find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, notice here, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. The Lord, separate yourself from your country. And in that day, it was a heathen country, all right. And from thy kindred, I mean separate from your family and from thy father's house. Separate, come out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing. Here's what God's saying here. Unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Every time you think about Israel, you think about God. All through history, Israel has been in the spotlight of history, has it not? Amen. And every time you hear about the Jews or you hear about Israel, you always think about God Almighty, don't you? I mean, we were just looking today and looking at the news, and there it is, Israel. Iran just devised a missile, ballistic missile, that can travel 800 miles, and it can reach the nation of Israel. Israel is on the news every single day. Israel is on the map today. The Hebrew language is one of the oldest languages in the world. It is the only language that was lost and then found again and is in current use today. Hebrew. And that's an amazing thing. But that's because of God's blessing on the chosen people of Israel. Now let's look at the command. In verse 3, we'll find the command. This is the first command. And I will bless them that bless thee. He says, I'm going to bless those people that bless your seed, Abraham. I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to do unto them as they have done unto you, and even in a greater proportion. When I think about God's blessing, I think about this wonderful country, the United States of America. And I am very thankful to God that He allowed me to be born in America. Amen. I'd rather be born in America than to be born in India. Amen. I'd rather be born in America than to be born in Africa. Amen. I was born in a great country, a country that has God's blessing on it, a country that has God's approval, at least for the most part. We're losing it, but for the most part, God has had His stamp of approval in this country. Why do you think that is so? That is so because this country has blessed the nation of Israel. This country has stood behind Israel as an ally, has been a supporter of the Jewish race like no other country in our modern history. God is a God of His Word. And indeed, if we bless the Jew, and it's a command, then we're going to be blessed. That's just the way it works. But the opposite is true as well. If we do not bless the Jew, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be cursed. We're going to be cursed by simply not blessing the Jew. There are two examples in the Bible that stand out more than any to show how this is very true. Do you remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh, the one who knew not Joseph? And remember, he really was against those Jews. He said they were getting so many of them, he wanted to put them in hard labor, didn't he? Toil. And he really despised and was jealous and envious of them, no doubt. And what did he do? He said, I want those Hebrew boys to be killed by the midwives. Thank God the midwives knew the Word of God, that they would rather obey God than man. And this is a good example of them obeying that command. Well, they didn't do it, and Moses was spared. We're so thankful for that. But as time went on, we find in the Word of God that God had issued out 10 plagues against Egypt. Now, again, this is the only chance that I get to be a school teacher. Will you let me be a school teacher for a couple minutes? Now, does anybody know one of the plagues that God put upon Egypt? Anybody remember? Just give me one plague. The frogs! Somehow everybody gets the frogs. One day I was drinking, I don't know what I was drinking, a cup of juice or something. And as I got to the bottom of this cup, I had two eyes looking at me. I looked at my wife and I said, honey, what's in my cup? She said, don't worry, just keep on drinking. I knew something was going on. I kept on drinking that. And lo and behold, it was a frog in my cup. It wasn't a real frog, but it was an amazing shocker for me, isn't it? Now, can you imagine just frogs, hopping out and just frogs in your soup and frogs in the toilet? I mean, frogs in the bathtub, everywhere. Frogs everywhere. Can you imagine? All right, give me another plague. Anybody? The lice. I hate lice. The only way I know how to kill lice is pour some gasoline on your head, amen? I'll kill them fast. All right? Anybody else? Give me another plague. The locust. They're good to eat, but hey, when they start hopping all around, better watch out, amen? All right, and there's others, of course. You got the water turning to blood. I think that's the most grossest thing. You're drinking a cup of blood. Oh, my soul. And I think the one that hit home more than anything was the last plague. Hell yeah, that really hit home. Because God said, I'm going to kill the firstborn even to the house of Pharaoh. That hits home, doesn't it? And guess what? If you were a firstborn of Egypt and you weren't in that safe haven where the Passover was performed and the blood was struck on the doorpost and the side, the lintel and the side post. If you weren't in that house at that time where the blood was applied, that angel of death wouldn't pass over you. That angel of death to kill your firstborn. Like that. Why do you suppose God saved that for the last plague? Because Pharaoh cursed the Jew in wanting to do the same thing to the Hebrew boys, did he not, that came out of the womb. God says, in like fashion, I'm going to curse you. You want to kill the firstborn of the Jews? I'm going to kill your firstborn. And as you bless the Jew, God shall bless you. I'll tell you the truth, that the churches, some churches that I know of, who never blessed the Jew, when they started blessing the Jew financially in support, God blessed them financially. Amen. I'm not just trying to promote this just for the sake of promoting it. I'm simply saying that God is true in blessing. Another example was Haman. That wicked Haman. Mentioned in the book of Esther. Nowhere in that book is the name of God mentioned. Yet God is all over that book. Amen. And Haman, a antichrist, a Jew hater, an anti-Semite, was so jealous of Mordecai. I just could imagine the venom in his eyes, in his heart against Mordecai. Yeah, he was probably thinking, that stiff-necked, filthy Jew, I can't wait to kill him. That's a lousy thing to say. That should never come out of your mouth. He ate those words, did he not? He said, I'm going to build a gallows 50 cubits high, and I'm going to make a mockery of Mordecai, and I'm going to hang him on my gallows. Well, Mr. Hate Shooter, hate Jewmonger, whatever, he got hung on his own gallows, and his 10 sons as well afterwards. He sought to curse the Jew by hanging Mordecai. He himself got hung in like fashion. I believe there's something to that. And if I was you, and if I was me, I'd be busy blessing the Jew. How do you bless the Jew? Well, one of the ways we bless the Jew is by getting the Word of God into the hands. That's how you bless the Jew. By supporting a worthwhile work and seeing that Jews can get saved, that will be well-pleasing in the sight of God. God will be well-pleased, I'm sure. And I believe with all my heart that you will receive a special blessing because you have obeyed the first commandment. All right, let's move on to the second commandment. That's found in Psalms 122. We find here actually two commands, but the first command is mentioned there in verse 6. Psalms 122, verse 6. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, does not the Bible say we are supposed to pray without ceasing? Doesn't the Bible say men ought always to pray and not to faint? One of the prayers that the church is guilty of neglecting, is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I have three churches right now. It all started with an all-black church. Of all churches, I never thought an all-black church would be doing this. You see how prejudiced we are sometimes? A black church praying for the Jews? Let me tell you something. There's a black church in Tennessee. Every day at 6:30 in the morning, every business day, they get together. Now think about this. All the men, before they go to work, get together. They come out right here, get on their knees, and they're praying for the hope of Israel Baptist Mission, and they're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. How about that? I was so encouraged when I heard that. Then, as I was talking about that among other white churches, I get a call from a pastor, says, guess what? We're going to pray at 7 o'clock in the morning. Kind of a black church praying at 6:30, a white church praying at 7. And then I got another call. Another church is going to pray. I don't know what time they're going to pray, but it doesn't matter. They're praying every day for the peace of Jerusalem. And you might say, well, Brother Dan, I like to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but what is the peace of Jerusalem? I mean, you're right. You want to know what you're praying about, amen? Well, the peace of Jerusalem is at least twofold, maybe more. Number one, I don't know about you, but I can't wait until the Lord comes. Amen. I can't wait until He comes, beloved, and I get out of this world. I mean, I'm homesick. I want to be home. This is not our home.
Right, brother.
Heaven is our home.
Right,
and every time we pull into the garage in near Atlanta where we live, we have a little song that we sing, and we simply sing about this house here is our temporary home. And we look forward to our eternal home. But when Jesus Christ comes and sets up His millennial kingdom, then you're going to have the peace. Jesus is really the peace of Jerusalem. And he's going to sit on his Davidic throne, and he's going to reign with a rod of iron. And I guarantee you one thing, there's going to be peace there, amen?
Amen.
There will be no outward rebellion, I guarantee it. Nobody's going to curse God in the kingdom.
Right.
Nobody's going to steal in the kingdom.
Amen.
There's going to be peace. Number two, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, before that happened, you had no joy. We looked at the evidences of being born again. You absolutely had no peace in your heart until the peace of glory came into your heart and gave you the peace that you longed for. And so when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying, in fact, for the Jews to receive the peace of God, which is, in other words, that they'll be born again. And so we need to pray for their salvation. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. You say, why should we make a big deal about it? Why should we make it a priority? Because God made it a priority.
Yes.
God wants us to do it. God says to do it. It's a command. And if you said you love God tonight, this is one way you show you love God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I don't know how many of you love the Jew. You may not love the Jew. But that's the third command. Some people say, well, love has to come naturally. Well, God says, we need to love the Jew. Notice here, the remainder of the verse says, they shall prosper that love thee. Now, how can you not love the Jew? If you love God, you ought to love the people that God loves. It's only natural. I mean, when I married my wife, I learned to love her family. I don't agree with all that her family has done or and all of that. You know what I'm saying? I think some of you may understand what I'm talking about. When you got married, you know, your in-laws, you probably thought some of them were outlaws. You know what I mean? But you loved your wife or you loved your husband and you said, you know, I got to live with her for the rest of my life, so I better start learning to love the family. Amen? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Now that I'm grown, I love my Heavenly Father so. That like a little child again, I humbly seek to know the things which are most dear to Him, so I may love them too, and thus draw closer to His heart, and so I love the Jew. Isn't that the way it ought to be? All right, let's move on. And let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 in the New Testament. God teaches us another command. And again, this is an expression of loving God. And I, if I was you, would really take notice of these commands. All right, notice here in Romans chapter 11, the Bible talks about the Jew, and somehow some people got this idea that the Jews are not, they're not really a people anymore. And some people got the idea that the Jews don't need to be saved. And there are people like that. I mean, I've been in churches, and I've been asked, why do you even bother wasting time reaching the Jews? Like if they don't even exist. Or like the fact they got some ticket to heaven and they don't need the gospel. They do need the gospel.
Amen.
And without the gospel, they're going straight to the lake of fire.
Right.
In verse 1, Paul said, I say then, hath God cast away His people? Referring to the Jew. He says, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away His people, which He foreknew. And so, they exist today, and they need to be won. How are we supposed to win the Jew? Well, God has ordained you and I, and the Church of the Living God, to win the Jew. Notice here, verse 11, He says, I say then, have they, referring to Israel, stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. For what reason? For to provoke them to jealousy. Did you see that? That is one of the main reasons God saved the Gentiles. So that they can turn around and provoke the Jew to jealousy so that they may be won to Christ. Jewish evangelism is a priority in God's plan. And that's one of our main jobs as a church, is to provoke them to jealousy. Now, I may have alluded to a little bit of that before, but may I expand it a little bit more. When Jews look at the church today, I'm afraid to tell you, it's a crying shame. We want the Jews to look at the church and be provoked to jealousy. To say, for example, when they see people going door knocking and witnessing for the name of Jesus Christ, they're going to take notice and they're going to say, wow, I've never seen anything like that. Why, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what God ordained Israel to do? To evangelize the world? Yes, indeed. Amen. Who do you think he's going to raise up after we're out of here? 144,000 Jews.
Right.
Not 144,000 Gentiles, but 144,000 Jews. And you know how come they'll be raised up? Because somebody had a burden for the Jew before the rapture, supported a Jewish effort to get the Word of God out, to sow the seed of the gospel, and they had that Word of God with them. And they read it. And they got saved. There are three people I know of that have gone to a place in Israel, or actually it's Jordan, called Petra. How many people know what Petra is, alright? This is like, it's in the Bible, it's called Basra, or Mount Seir. This is where Esau lived, the Edomites. And this is one of the places, if not the only place in all of that area, in that area, that the Jews can flee in the tribulation period, the remnant of Israel, the one third that has not been killed by the Antichrist, where Revelation chapter 12 tells us they're going to flee into the wilderness and they're going to seek refuge. And they're going to go into this Mount Seir, or Petra, the Red Rock City. And they're going to stay there for 3.5 years. And that city's already ready to roll. It's a city built out of rock. They have water ways already worked in the ground. Conduits that water will come through and provide what they need. Everything's ready for the remnant of Israel to flee into the wilderness. But there have been three people that I know of that on their tourist trip to visit that site have been equipped with a Hebrew English New Testament, which I have right here. And they sealed it, shrink-wrapped it. Everybody on their tour had one in their possession. They went inside some of these buildings carved out of solid rock. Somehow, I don't know how they did it, but they buried this right here. The Hebrew, English, New Testament, King James Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So far, I haven't heard anybody putting the NIV in there. You know what I mean? I think God has already said, I only want this Bible in there, the King James Bible. Amen?
Right.
Isn't that interesting? So, you're going to find a little boy one day playing in one of these caves. He's going to be digging. You know how little boys like to dig and everything? He's going to be digging. And then, lo and behold, he's going to see a little black book. And he's going to say, my, what is this? He's going to take it to mommy. And mommy's going to open it up. And daddy's going to open it up. And they're going to start reading. They're going to start looking at the signs of the times. Oh, mercy. The Bible says in Romans, that in one day, all Israel shall be saved. That's the leftover Israel, because the rest of them being killed. Because the Word of God has been sown. And we as a church need to provoke the Jew to jealousy. I was just not doing it. I think I mentioned this to you before, that an Orthodox Jew, you're not going to find an Orthodox Jew going to the beach. You're not going to find him. You're not going to find an Orthodox Jew going to a ballroom. You're not going to find him having a television. Now, I've witnessed to them, and you know, when I tell them I don't have a television, they're shocked. And they can't understand it. Because they expect everybody that's not a Jew to be an outright heathen pagan. And what a testimony. What a provoking. What an opening for them to consider Jesus Christ the Messiah.
Amen.
You'll not find an Orthodox Jew going around wearing shorts. I guarantee you that.
Amen.
You won't find the women wearing bikinis. I'll tell you that. You won't find it. In fact, the women are so afraid of being immodest, they've gone to a real extreme. And what they have done is that they have shaved their heads and they have put wigs on them, lest another man would be appealing to them. I pray that's amazing, isn't it? But yet today, they look at Christianity, they look at our independent Baptist churches, and they say, that's the faith I'm supposed to be believing in. I'd just rather just be comfortable in my formalistic Judaism than to go lower and live like a pagan heathen.
Amen.
We need to provoke the Jews to jealousy,
yes,
so that when they see us, they see godliness,
yes,
holiness,
yes,
something that will make them take notice.
Amen.
Why the Bible says we are peculiar people. Yet, I think most of Christianity, they need to wear some identification on them in order to distinguish them from the rest of the world.
Right.
Why the Bible says we are living epistles known and read of all men.
Amen.
What do they read when they see you?
Right.
Do they read a hypocrite? Huh? What do they see? Do they read a person who loves God? Do they see a soul winner? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you passed out a tract? Well, we leave that to the pastor. Don't you know that, Brother Dan? That's the pastor's job. Show me a Bible verse on that, will you please? I thought we were all supposed to be soul winners. Oh, mercy. God help us. We are in a mess today, aren't we? All right, let's move on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to examine another command. We're moving right along. I know you're all excited. I can see it. Amen. I'm just assuming that you better be excited. Amen. This is the Word of God here. Oh, blessed water. I shouldn't be putting this cap on here. I'll leave it right off. Okay, here we go. All right, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now, most of this chapter, or at least a lot of it, is talking about offense. Now, I'm sorry to say I offend people all the time. I really do. But I offend them because I'm preaching the truth. I'm living the truth by the grace of God. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love the law of God, if you love the Word of God, if you love the will of God, you'll not be offended when the truth is declared.
Amen.
But if you don't love those things, you will be offended. However, there is an evil offense. I remember when I first got saved, here was an older brother who I took notice, being a young convert. He was an older, more mature brother, had been saved a number of years. I noticed that he went to the movie theater. I thought to myself, why, if he can go to the movie theater, I didn't know any better. I guess I can go to the movie theater. Well, that dear brother offended me. Because when I got to the movie theater, being a young convert, I stumbled. Because I saw things that I should have never seen. And that brother was the cause of it. But had that brother walked a life of holy living, abstaining from all appearance of evil, abstaining from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. I would have been warned, I would have been cautioned, and I would have not gone to the movie theater.
Amen.
Consequently, I was offended. Now the Church of the Living God is offending the Jew very much like that. And God tells us in verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We offend the Jews all the time, the Church does. And one of the main ways we offend the Jews is messing around with the Bible. Some pastors, and I can boldly say with thanksgiving in my heart that your preacher stands on the Word of God. He's not ashamed. He makes no apology. You see what I'm saying? But there are many pastors that get up on the pulpit and they correct the Bible all the time. They say, well, a better translation would be this or that. But what are they doing? They're massacring the Word of God. They're removing and adding to the Word of God. Well, that's highly offensive to the Jews. When the Orthodox Jews came to America around 1700, in the 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, they looked to find perhaps an English translation of the Hebrew. Because it's a great undertaking. And they searched for 1 or 2 years, and they discovered the King James Bible. And they analyzed it and dissected it and made sure whether or not it represented a good translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. After doing all their analysis, they came to the conclusion that without any doubt whatsoever, the King James Bible had to be the Word of God in English. Therefore, they did not do any translation work. And so the Orthodox Jews knew what was the Word of God. But today, we'll find that there are so many translations out there. I wonder which Bible those Jews are going to get. When a Jew gets an NIV or a Revised Standard, for example, let me use the Revised Standard. That's a good example of how offensive it is. And I'm talking about a bad offense here. They'll come to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says in the King James that a virgin shall conceive, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which, by the way, means God with us. But the Revised perversion says a young maiden shall conceive. Well, we look around today, hey, there's a lot of young maidens that aren't virgins. When the Jews, the scribes, would come and they would copy the Hebrew over again onto another scroll, every time they came to the name of God, Adonai, or the name Elohim. Elohim is mentioned, I believe, 31 times in Genesis chapter 1. This is what the scribes did. They, before they would copy the name of God, they'd come to a basin of water, and they would clean their hands. They would change their garments. Think about that. And then they would change the ink in their feather pen. And then they would write, before they would write even, they would have a word of prayer of devotion and adoration for the name of God. And then they would write the name. They have to do that 31 times just in Genesis chapter 1 alone. Do you know how many times Elohim is mentioned in the Hebrew Bible? That's the name of God. Over 2,500 times. How about that? And yet, we are so careless about the Bible. I mean, we really are. But we leave it around. We don't even have a cover in our Bibles a lot of times, you know. And we let our children step on it. We put plates on it. A lot of us don't even read the Word of God. It collects dust. We have Bibles. We never give them out. It's offensive to the Jew. And one of the commands is that we are not to be offensive to the Jewish people. We have violated that, for the most part, as a church. And it's just a terrible, terrible thing. All right? Let's look at the last two commands, which indeed make us realize the importance of Jewish evangelism probably more than anything. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. And notice this. He says in verse 14, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Did you know you were a debtor to a barbarian? You ever witnessed to a barbarian? 350-pound barbarian? You knock on the door, he's about ready to strangle you to death? What you want? I've been watching a soap opera. What you want? I've been watching the Super Bowl. What you want? Well, I just came to tell you the good news that Jesus died for your sins. Can I ask you a question? Make it fast! That's the way it is. But God says you're a debtor to go to them. Amen? I'm a debtor. This is a Jew. Paul was a Jew, by the way. He's saying, as a Jew, I'm a debtor to the Greek. I'm a debtor to the non-Jew. I'm a debtor to the barbarian. That's what he says. Verse 15, he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I wonder, now let me ask you a question. I wonder how many people would say that if someone was to ask you to produce to them on the spot 5 verses about the blood of Jesus Christ, could you do it? I wonder how many people, if they were posed a question about the deity of Jesus Christ, and you had to produce 5 verses to prove to that fella that Jesus is God, could you do it? 5 verses, right now, spit it out. What about someone want to get saved, and you didn't have your Bible with you? You're supposed to have it in your heart. Thy word have a hit in my heart that I might not sin against faith. The Bible says we need to give a right answer. How many of you can produce 5 verses right now and point someone to Jesus Christ based on the Word of God? I wonder. Are you ready? Are you prepared? There is absolutely no reason why we cannot memorize at least 1 verse a day. There is absolutely no reason why not. I have studied church history, and I have read many of the journals of older Baptist churches. And this may shock you when I tell you this, but it was very common among those churches to memorize over 5 verses every single day. Those believers did it. We are not ready to witness to a Jew for the most part. They just tear you upside down and spit you out. Many of you couldn't even witness to a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, who needs to know the answer from the Word of God. They've been taught erroneous teaching from the Catholic Church. They don't know any better. How are we going to show them unless we're ready to give them the gospel?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And reading the Bible. Some of us pick up the Bible when we're in the church meeting. Is that the way it ought to be? He goes on to say, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know why Paul was such a soul winner? He knew the power of the Bible.
Amen.
He knew he didn't have to come up with so many fancy things. He didn't have to be eloquent in his speech. He didn't have to have a college education. All he had to know is the Bible.
Yes.
to quote the Bible and let the Bible do the work in the heart of a sinful person. And so he said, he was not ashamed. But he said that the priority in evangelism was to go to the Jew first. Did you read that? To go to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I have had some educated idiots. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. They think they know it, but they're really idiots. They have PhDs and everything. And I tell them, look, you can give me all your PhDs, but I'm pretty proud of my 2 degrees. I got a BA and a DD, and I'm proud of those 2 degrees. I'm born again, and I'm divinely delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Guess what? You can't take it away either. It's not. Hey, mercy. And yet, the educated idiots in some of these universities will say to me, Brother Dan, you don't know your Bible. Don't you know that the Bible said that Jesus had come to his own and his own received him not, therefore we don't have to go to the Jew first. I turn around and get right back to the same chapter in the Gospel of John, verse chapter 1, where it says that the world knew him not. I guess we don't have to go to the world either, huh? Well, the Bible tells us, what about the Great Commission? How many know what the Great Commission is? Huh? The Great Commission is to go to the whole world, preaching to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them how to get saved. Every creature. And you know what? The Bible says that the disciples had turned the world upside down. I believe that every creature in the whole wide world in that generation heard the gospel. Does that mean we don't have to give the gospel to anybody any longer because they fulfilled the Great Commission in their lifetime? Absolutely not. In every generation, we need to revitalize the Great Commission, and we need to revitalize to the Jew first. Come on, if you agree, give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
That's the Bible. Chapter 2. Here's one main reason we got to go to the Jew first. Verse 9, tribulation. Chapter 2 of Romans. Starting at verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. One reason we got to get to the Jew first is because the Jew is going to receive tribulation, anguish, and all these terrible things are going to happen to them. How many people know about the Holocaust? 6 million Jews were killed. Part of my family. 20 of my cousins were killed. When I was in Israel, I went to a Holocaust memorial. And the first thing I noticed when I got there was a wall of names. My mother's maiden name was on there. Her maiden name is Sachs. I asked my mother, why is her name on there? She said, well, honey, that's a list of my relatives that got gassed to death and shoved into the gas chamber, and then they were cremated. And then I saw my last name, Fried. Same thing, my father's side of the family. I was just a little boy at the time. Finally, at the end of the Holocaust Memorial in Israel, we were led into a dark room. It was a little light in a cabinet made out of glass. There were two items in there that shocked me. One item was a shirt that had the Star of David on it. In the middle, read J-U-D-E, Jude, meaning Jew in German. Every Jewish family was given by the Nazis maybe a stack of 40 or 60 of these ribbons or the Star of David with that insignia, and they had to sew it on their clothes. They couldn't go to a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor. They couldn't go and get a bank loan. They couldn't go to the grocery store. Their kids couldn't go to school without being identified as a Jew. Isn't that amazing? What humiliation. How would it be if I passed out 40 of those things and you were commanded to sew that on your clothes? Would you go out there with your head high, praising God Almighty, that you can't walk worthy of the high calling in Christ Jesus?
and be identified with the sufferings and the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. How many of you would have no problem with that? Yet the Jews were humiliated. And that was a shock, it really was. I really realized at that time how Jewish I was, as a born Jew. And then the other item really shocked me. I looked at my mother and I was afraid to ask her this. I said, "Now, Mom, is what I'm seeing true?" And I saw my mother was crying and she was in convulsions practically. And I said, "Mom, what is that there? It looks like a bar of soap." She turned around and said, "Honey, that's exactly what it is, a bar of soap."
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against a holy God with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as a New Testament, please request a copy. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you are not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us for other times of our broadcasts and to get a free catalog of tapes and literature. Let us know you're listening to our broadcasts. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings that you may be drawn closer to Him. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again every weekday at the same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.